You're listening to Trek FM.
This is Robert Picardo, the emergency medical hologram from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey.
To the journey!
I am your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
Today is a grand day. A grandiose day, if you will. Because
it is.
I got to go online today and shop Trek.fm merchandise.
That's right, baby. We have opened up what we are calling the Promenade, which is our Trek.fm shop of merchandise. It is a Redbubble store. And what's cool about Redbubble is we can do more than just t-shirts, because a lot of people have been screaming at us for months, I want to do Trek FM t-shirts. This could be a great way for you guys to make money. And yeah, we've known that. It's taken a long time to set this up. But with Redbubble, we can do even more. Like, you can do a Team Lizard Babies hoodie, a throw pillow, an iPhone case, a journal, a notebook. You can even do stickers. They have such a really cool wide array of products, and we have tried to meticulously pick what really works for each design, and we have several of them, all done by our art director, Aaron Harvey. And you've seen a lot of these before as he's posted them, things like Team Lizard Babies, Trekking Through the 80s, or the Maroon Monsters, Team Free Enterprise, and of course that special one about Pulaski and Riker's dad.
I'm seeing that pop up all over on my Twitter feed. Like,
that's one of the most popular ones, is Pulaski. Yeah. I would not be surprised if at the end of the day when we look at our sales, that's going to be our top seller. I would not be surprised one bit.
Actually, no, I will be frighteningly surprised, because I am calling for all of the listeners within the range of the sound of my voice to make Team Lizard Babies the top-selling image of merchandise on the Trek.fm store. I am calling you guys to help us out. We need to prove to the world and to the rest of the Trek.fmers that Team Lizard Babies has the best fans out of anybody.
Well, we know that we have amazing listeners of our show.
You and I know that it's true.
Absolutely. And we know that they're going to come through for us, because I've already seen a couple of people say, I've already ordered my Team Lizard Baby shirt. And so I think that's a possibility. And I wouldn't be sad at all if that happened. Let's be honest. Let's just say there's going to be a lot of TTJ support out there.
When I went on the website, because, you know, obviously, you know, I've known that this has been going up for a while, and you worked very hard on it. And so I want to thank you and congratulate you for doing such a great job. And
well, thank you.
It was so much fun. Like, I had to get back to work today.
Boo.
I know, but it was so much fun looking through everything. Like, I was like, you're telling me I can get a hoodie? You're telling me I can get an iPhone case? You're telling me I can get a laptop cover? You're telling me I can get a freaking throw pillow? You know, like, it's yes. Almost limitless at what you can get.
It's crazy what you can get out there on the Redbubble store. They have such a cool range of products, and what's even cooler is we've got even more stuff in the works. This is just kind of a sneak preview of what you can expect of our store. Aaron is already hard at work on other designs that are specifically fit for certain products. That's really going to make them shine. And so I cannot wait to unveil those when they are ready. And especially with the holidays coming up, we are going to be working especially hard on these so that we can give you even more new products. And I know that people are going to be thinking of gift ideas for friends, family members, or if you want to hint to your friends and family members, hey, I want this. Now is a really great time for us to be pimping out the products. And so I'm really excited about our launch. I'm so glad that it's happened. And we have more in store for you. So please stay tuned. We've got even more coming your way.
Well, I spent so much time on the website, and if I had unlimited money, I'd buy every single thing on the website and just decorate my walls as well as my person.
I hear you. If I had so much more money, I would buy one of everything. I really would. Because as I was putting those together, I just thought, dang, that's cool. I want one. I'm especially so cool. in love with the stickers. Some of those just look so freaking awesome. I love the stickers, especially.
Well, we are not only talking about Star Trek merchandise and Trek.fm merchandise. What we're talking about today for our main topic is the top five relationship / friendship moments between Tuvok and our beloved Neelix.
That's right. Now, in previous installments of this series, we have mostly dealt with more romantic pairings. We did Janeway and Chakotay, who, of course, did not directly have a relationship going on, but behind the scenes, we know what they did. And then, of course, Tom and B'Elanna, who, of course, were very romantically involved, and there was no doubt about it. Now, with Tuvok and Neelix, we are talking about the odd couple. We have the very energetic and expressive and joyous Neelix paired with the, by comparison, almost cold and, we know that Vulcans are not void of emotion, but emotionless Vulcan.
This is definitely one of my favorite relationships on the show, and I think that it brings a little something unique to the show, and something that you don't find, something that you don't really find outside of Voyager. I'm trying to think of another. Well, I guess the only other only way you could compare is probably Odo and Quark from Deep Space Nine.
It's very much that kind of rhythm. Yeah.
Now, can you think of another relationship in Star Trek that's like Odo and Quark or Tuvok and Neelix?
Off the top of my head, no, that is by far the best comparison.
Having this type of podcast and this type of episode makes me look forward to the rest of Voyager's relationships, because, you know, soon we're going to talk about Tom and Harry, or maybe we can even do Neelix and Naomi or something like that. You know, it's when you yeah. take the romantic section out of it, there's a lot you can explore. Like, oh, and we could even do, you know, like Seven and Janeway.
Oh, totally. Yeah, not all relationships are romantic in nature, clearly. We have the bromance, we've got friendship, we have mentorship.
Yeah,
mentorships. There's all sorts of great things that we can explore here. So this is just one installment of what will probably be many. But let's get to it. I'm excited to talk about Tuvok and Neelix.
Yeah, okay. So in no particular order, what's your first one?
Well, I think you have to start with the very first time that the two met in Caretaker. This is a great scene because it really just establishes everything between the two, where Neelix gets transported aboard Voyager. The entire conversation overall is hilarious, but my favorite part is where Tuvok is explaining that the Federation is made up of several races. He is a Vulcan, and then Neelix kind of pats his chest and says to him, "Neelix!" And then proceeds to give Tuvok a hug, and then Neelix, completely unaware of how uncomfortable Tuvok is with the gesture, says, "Good to meet you!" And that just shows it right there. That shows Tuvok as kind of the cold and distant Vulcan to the very expressive and happy-go-lucky Neelix.
Yeah, it's this is of course my number one. I mean, this has to go on the list. It's
we've
talked about this moment so many times. We both love this moment, and right when this scene happened, you knew that they were going to have an interesting relationship. You knew that this was the beginning of something. Now, I don't know if the writers knew, but the audience sure did.
Totally. And I think the writers would have to be stupid to not realize that they had a good thing here.
I think so, too. I right off the get-go, there was a misunderstanding, there was contention, there was annoyance, there, even though there was an arc to the relationship, this one interaction, this first interaction, set the tone for the rest of the 7 years that they were going to be in the Delta Quadrant.
It truly did. And we get even more in Caretaker, where Neelix is taking his first bath and we don't want to know how long, and Tuvok has to hand him a towel. That's yet another good scene. I want to put that out as an honorable mention. I did not put it in my top five list. Now, you didn't either, I take it.
No, I didn't. But those are forever linked in my brain. Like, I pretty much, like, when they see each other and the bath is pretty much one moment to me.
Yeah, Tuvok sees way more of Neelix than he ever needed to, and it's that is such a great foundation for this relationship. How can you not have it on the top five list, and how can you not have it? I know we don't do these in order, but how can that not be the first one?
I know, it has to be the first one. It deserves to be the first one.
It does. So what's your first?
Well, I mean, that was my first, so we're actually back
to you
now. Okay,
Fair enough. That's very good. Well, how about, in no particular order, when Neelix is helping Tuvok gain an appreciation for cooking, especially desserts in riddles?
I was hoping you'd pick this one, because I did not.
Oh, this is one of my favorite Tuvok scenes, actually, because there's a part of it where, I forget who asks him. It's been a while since I've watched this episode, but somebody asks him, why desserts? And Tuvok, not quite himself, of course, he's like, because they taste the best. And that's so unlike Tuvok. And it's just, you know, this is the Tuvok we all can get along with a little better, without all the Vulcan blocks massed in front, you know?
Did we talk about this episode before? Or I can't remember why we talked about this episode at length. I don't know if we were doing a character analysis on Tuvok or what it was. But I remember, I really like this episode. I like it a lot. And I think Tim Russ is a very talented actor. But the one thing that I did not like about these moments is that he was so childlike.
He was, but it seemed to make sense because it was almost like an emotional immaturity, experiencing it for the first time, or at least expressing it for the first time.
I understand that reasoning, but I think I would have liked to have seen it. It kind of invalidated a connection to me because Neelix isn't really relating with Tuvok. Like it's not Tuvok without emotion. It's Tuvok without emotion, without memory, without adulthood, you know. It's just, I don't know. And so like when we went back to normal, I didn't feel like there was any real special connection moving forward, but that's just me.
Okay, well, you do make a good point there where press the reset button. Is he really affected by the experience? Oh, probably not.
But that leads me to my second pick, which is from the same episode.
Oh, okay. What is it?
I love this episode. And me saying all that was not like saying, oh, that was a horrible choice, Char. No, that was not me saying that at
my
all.
My pick is better.
No, I think that's a great moment because I love it when he's talking about desserts and when he's drawing the cake and he has the apron on. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
The moment I picked was at the very, very end of the episode because we have a bookend with this episode where he asks, you know, it's why it's called Riddles, and Neelix asks Tuvok a riddle. How can a guy stranded on a desert island, nothing but a calendar, survive? And Tuvok's like, no, he'd die. And Neelix goes, no, he could eat the dates. Get it? Get it? And Tuvok's like, that's just a play on words. Go away.
That's such a corny joke. I love it.
It is such a corny joke. But at the very, very end of the episode, they're back in the mess hall and Tuvok says, Sundays. Neelix is like, what? Sundays. He could also eat the Sundays. And Neelix said, that's not very logical, is it? And he's like, oh, I guess it's not. And so that showed that, you know, like maybe Neelix chipped away a little bit at the Vulcan exterior and got that nice moment. And that's definitely is worthy of our lists.
Totally. I mean, sometimes for episodes as good as this, where overall you don't see that much growth, hey, this is at least a little something.
A little something, yeah. I feel like we do that whenever we have a Vulcan in Star Trek. When they come onto the show, they're the badass, hardest Vulcan that you could ever meet. No emotion, no nothing, no sympathy. Mm-hmm. And then as 7 years or however many years goes by of the show, they whittle away that emotion and make them more human. I feel like that's, like if in the new Trek, I would be interested to see if that did not happen again.
It would be interesting to see how that's addressed. And of course, we've got to find out when the series will take place so that we have a little more context for how they might do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, so what's your next one?
Well, speaking of small things, how about when Tuvok dances for Neelix before Neelix's departure in Homestead?
That's my next one as well.
Well, this is a very important moment because this is officially the point where the two part ways. And it took a lot of effort for Tuvok to do this, and he did it just for Neelix. And it was something that Neelix could take with him on his way out and appreciate and fondly recall Tuvok in the depths of his heart.
Yeah, this one, I remember watching this with my parents, and I know you guys, a few of you have written to us recently about how you like it when I talk about my parents' reaction to Star Trek. So
yeah.
Until you guys tell me to stop, I'm going to keep going. But I was watching this with my parents, and I remember mom going, that's it? That's all he did? That's not dancing.
For a Vulcan, it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, that's what I said. I was like, mom, come on. I mean, it's the gesture. He's not going to do like the Macarena or anything like that to prove that he's friends with Neelix, I mean, he still has to keep his dignity. And that was a nice, subtle way of saying, okay, I'm not really going to dance, but I'm showing you that I want to please you. I want to make you happy before you leave.
Yeah, he was trying.
Yeah, and that meant the world to me. I loved that moment because they needed something. They had such a weird and fascinating and just beautiful relationship over the past 7 years that they couldn't just have him, you know, have him walk by Tuvok and say, oh, you know, it's been an honor serving with you, you know, and then leave. No, that needed something special. And I love that, like, Neelix was trying to hug Tuvok, but he's like, nope, okay, I'm not going to hug Tuvok. Yeah.
Right, this is sort of how they met in the middle. And yeah, Neelix and Tuvok just saying, well, it's been fun, see ya. That's just not enough for somebody like Neelix. No. So this was the great compromise to make something memorable, but not so outlandish that Tuvok is so out of his comfort zone that he just can't handle it. So it's a good moment.
Since we tied again, what's your next one?
How about, let's take a darker turn, and we go to when Tuvok is sort of relieving himself of homicidal tendencies in the episode Meld, where he kills Neelix in a holo simulation. Now, I mean, this isn't real, but you don't know that the first time you watch this. And I remember a lot of people who were really ragging on Neelix when the series was first airing. And since this is season two, it was 1996. And people would get on the internet message boards, God, Neelix, he's so annoying. And a lot of people said, man, I really wish that scene would have been real. But I found it extremely entertaining because it's Neelix at his very worst annoying behavior. It really is. Mm-hmm. You can just tell that Tuvok is being pushed to his limit. But then you see Tuvok actually putting a stranglehold on him. And you're like, whoa. Of course, it's not real. You figure that out rather quickly, even before the simulation ends, I think. If you're really thinking about it at the time, if you're not totally taken aback by what's happening in front of you. Still, it's a moment. What do you think about this?
This is on my list, too. We basically have the same list.
Well, yeah, I think what happened is there's so many... I mean, there's not tons and tons of Tuvok and Neelix moments, but the ones that really shine... really, really shine.
Yeah. Yeah, they stand out.
And we're picking those.
And that's the thing is that, like, ladies and gentlemen, we, if you're a longtime listener, you know that Shar and I do not compare our lists beforehand because we could do that. Like, we could compare our list and make sure that we never have anything different so that, you know, like, you always get something a little different each single time. But we wanted to make it real. And it just kind of goes to show that, you know, both Shar and I look at Voyager very differently. We both respect this relationship and also pick some of the best moments as our favorite moments, where whether it's important to them or even not important to them, like, you know, like Tuvok killing Neelix, it tells you something about the relationship. And I love that moment just because it's such a standout moment where it makes you wonder, because, you know, just because it's not real in the holodeck doesn't mean he hasn't felt this way. Because that's the thing is that the emotions of a Vulcan are insane. Like, they are much stronger than we could ever hope to imagine as a human. And I think that's the point that they're trying to go across, that, like, everything is just amped up with a Vulcan. Their muscles, their sex drive, their emotions, everything is just, like, quadruple what a human feels or goes through. And that's why they had to contain it. And it meld, like, this holographic situation shows you that deep down, I don't know if it's towards the surface or, you know, like, towards the core, there is an inkling of Tuvok that would enjoy killing Neelix. Whether, like, you could say, like, oh no, that's just Suter's personality taking over. Well, okay, like, let's say it is just Suter's personality taking over. Why did he choose Neelix? He didn't choose Janeway.
Right.
He didn't choose Chakotay. He didn't choose Harry or Tom. He chose Neelix.
And granted, Tuvok could have chosen any of the above for various reasons. We could have seen that on display. But yeah, he chose Neelix. So you could probably say safely, yeah, Tuvok is annoyed by Neelix, but he does put up with him, even if it does take a little more restraint some days more than others. Most of the time he can handle it, but I would say the mind meld exaggerated that tendency to the point where Tuvok had to boil over and get rid of some of that tension. He just couldn't take it anymore.
And it's also kind of like that whole trope that you see on TV where the person fantasizes about killing their boss.
Right.
You know, like, would that person ever actually harm a fly or their boss? No, never in a million years. But it's these baser instincts, like, it's this domination that people have over us that we want to rebel. And what's the best, like, the biggest and strongest way to rebel is to, and the ultimate domination is ending someone's life. And so, you know, like, obviously Neelix isn't Tuvok's boss, but he has that, like, Neelix is such a symbol of emotion and excess. And mm-hmm. the opposite of what Vulcans stand for and feel and think and value, whether Tuvok was killing Neelix or what Neelix represents, it's still fascinating to think about. And so that's definitely why I think it made my list.
Totally. Yeah. Just the dynamic is perfect for this sort of thing to express itself. Yeah. And I just want to add one more thing. When you were explaining that we do not share our list with one another reason why we do that is for the surprise of it. It's so much fun. Like the reveal of what you picked as opposed to what I picked, because like you said, we see the same show differently. I mean, there's so many different angles at which you can take it on. And so that's one of the big fun things about our list. That's why we love doing them so much, because you surprise me sometimes and sometimes I surprise you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes the game is fun to try to figure out what you're going to put on your list.
Yeah. Sometimes we even, that's like more of the psychological study than anything is, okay, I know Tristan's going to pick that one and he's going to pick that one. So I'm going to pick this one.
Yeah. This one has a really nice B'Elanna moment. So I'm going to leave that one for Tristan.
Right. You know, like, of course you pick it every time. And I know I can rely on you.
Well, what's your final one?
Oh, it's the final one already. We've gone through these quick.
Yeah.
Well, I think my last one is Neelix asking advice from Tuvok about becoming a parent in Elogium.
Oh, I completely forgot about this moment.
You see, we're demonstrating it right now. This is the fun of it.
Oh, that's such a good moment. I'm so glad you picked that one.
Yeah, Tuvok really gets to shine in this scene. Because first off, well, Neelix approaches him because he trusts Tuvok, and that says something about their friendship. But Tuvok has a great perspective because he's been a father and he's even a grandfather, has had several children, and opens Neelix's eyes a little bit to what parenthood might really be like.
And he also, Tuvok explains why you need to defy gender roles in the same conversation.
Absolutely, because Neelix was just thinking, oh, I could handle a little guy. And Tuvok says, well, what if it's a girl?
Yeah. Yeah, Neelix says, he's like, I have nothing I could teach a girl. And he's like, why would that differ? Why would that change?
Exactly. You're going to give them both Legos and they're going to love it.
That is Star Trek right there. Like, that was not the emphasis of the episode, but those type of messages need to be woven throughout effortlessly.
Totally. Yeah, that is so incredibly good Star Trek right there in that scene. But I loved that because it says a lot about their friendship, and Tuvok was good enough to give him some very good wisdom and give Neelix a lot to think about, and has a big effect on what happens in the rest of the story. So it's a good moment. What about you? What is your last pick?
You know, I don't know exactly if this isn't really like a phenomenal moment between the two of them. This is just one of my favorite moments that the two of them happen to be a part of, if that makes any sense. It's from the episode Hunters. And Neelix is delivering letters throughout the show because they tapped into the Rogen network and they're able to get letters from home. And Tuvok gets a letter and Neelix is delivering them. Of course, Neelix is delivering him. He's, you know, he's the morale officer. He's the ambassador. Of course, he's going to deliver the letters. And he brings one to Tuvok and he hands it to him. And Tuvok does thank you very much and just puts it down on his desk and goes back to work. And everybody at home, including Neelix, are feeling the same thing. Where they're just like, "What are you doing? That's a letter from home. Why are you not reading it right now?"
Yeah, come on, read it, read it.
And Tuvok's like, and Tuvok makes a very interesting point. He's like, "Are the contents of the letter going to change?"
That is so not the point, but yeah.
I thought that was such an interesting point. And then Neelix says, "He's like, you know, there's some important news in here." And he's like, "So you've read it." And this has always bothered me, but not the fact that Neelix read it, but that Neelix could read it. So you're telling me that in the 24th century, where in the 21st century, I have triple authentication with my email and social media services, and yet if somebody sends me a letter in the 24th century, Neelix can just open it up and read it. Like, it's not even inside a digital envelope. It's just like, to Tuvok, and then boom, letter on the pad underneath.
I have an apologist explanation for this.
Okay, lay it on me.
It's the fact that everybody is so excited about getting letters from home that they don't worry about encoding it. They just slap it on a pad, completely open, no security protocol, to which Tuvok should probably start getting on people's case about that. But at this point, it's not occurred, obviously. And so, yeah, Neelix is just handing out pads with the letters basically opened. It's like it's like handing out opened mail.
I think I could probably do an apologist's explanation where, because it's not a Starfleet network, and it's kind of like a pirate network, they're just getting raw data. And so, you know, it's not really formatted in letter form. It's just like getting a text file. Like, oh, this one says Tuvok at the top, so let's hand him that one, that kind of thing. That's maybe what I could think of.
Well, and considering that they were having trouble downloading them in the first place, that also could have been an issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there you go.
Tuvok basically like says it's okay for Neelix to read it to him. And it was just so great to hear Neelix's voice talk about these intimate details of Tuvok's life. And it's just the way that he said it. He's like, my husband. You know, like, it's just like when he said that, like, he could have done it in a cheesy way, a stupid way, or like a quote unquote funny way, but he took it seriously and he sounded endearing.
Yeah.
He wasn't putting on a voice. He was just being serious. And it just, I love that. You know, like, he gets a few lines out and then Tuvok's like, okay, that's enough. And then Neelix leaves. And, you know, it shows that even when Neelix is gone, his influence remains. And even with the most stodgy person of the ship, he is chipping away at the Vulcan exterior. And this is just another one of those examples.
It's true. I have to agree with what you said about the way Neelix read that letter. Had Tuvok's wife not been Vulcan, I mean, you wouldn't, in fact, mistake that for the way that that person might intend for those words to be read. So, yeah, he did it just right. You're absolutely on the nose with that. And that is a good moment. I did not think about that moment, and so I'm so glad that you put that on the list. Now, do you have any honorable mentions?
I do not. I was these are my five, and I was racking my brain trying to think of more, but I just couldn't. And how about you?
Well, I know that there are more moments, but unfortunately, I just could not comb through the episodes enough to find more candidates, except for maybe a cop-out of an honorable mention, and that is becoming Tuvix. Because Tuvok and Neelix truly became one another. They became one for an episode.
I thought about this episode, and I was like, oh, should I put down a moment from here? But Tuvok and Neelix don't really have a moment in this.
That's just it. I mean, that's why it's kind of a cop-out. Oh, wait, just a minute. I just thought of another moment that I should have put on this list. From one of my favorite episodes in season 7, Prophecy, Tuvok and Neelix share quarters.
Oh,
you remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically like Tuvok's worst nightmares all coming true. You know, because Neelix is like the stereotypical horrible roommate. He's disorganized, he's throwing things everywhere, and for a orderly Vulcan, that is just simply the worst thing. You could put chaos into the order. How dare he? And so you got that as well.
And we got to see Neelix in his jammies, Tuvok in his jammies, and Tuvok did not hide his disgust / fear very well, because you could see everything on his face when Neelix was spreading out on his couch.
Yes. Yeah, that was a good scene. So I've got to put that in as an honorable mention as well. But that's what I've got.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. I mean, this was a short episode, but hopefully it was an enjoyable one. Those were the top five moments between Tuvok and Neelix. And I know that not everybody out there likes Neelix as much as I do and you do. Maybe just I do. But
you like him more. There's moments I do like Neelix, but there's also times when I just simply cannot stand him either.
I understand. Hopefully you guys can at least enjoy these moments between Neelix and Tuvok, even if you don't love Neelix 100%.
That is right. Well, Tuvok and Neelix aren't the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. Here is a glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
they just happen to come at just the right time.
Right,
or just
the wrong
the
right
time
for it to be dangerous.
Like, literally, like, not even, like, that day, but, like 2 minutes before this happens.
The Ready Room.
Here's one more thing I want to throw out here for you guys. Recasting this episode, because I know you guys like to do this on To the Journey with things, with mm-hmm. series and such. I think that Ma'ab should be played by Will Ferrell.
Yeah!
To the Journey!
Bravo to the holodeck.
Bravo to the holodeck. Bravo to science!
Yes, for coming to the truth.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
It's like, yeah, that's, I mean, commentary, Trek Stars. We can say this. You see, it's a commentary on Trek Star. No, it's because our other show is called Commentary Track Stars, okay? And we were being cute.
The 602 Club.
I had a real fear when they first introduced that character that she was going to be the opposite of what you had just described, Matthew, that she would be too young for Bond, that she would be a little wet behind the ears, that we were going to fall back into all these cliches that I thought we had just broken by having the Monica Bellucci character there. But I was so relieved that they constructed somebody who had a lot of depth.
Women at Warp.
So we went in and pitched, and I have to say that was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life. I have scrubbed in on brain surgery. It did not frighten me as much as waiting outside Gene Roddenberry's office getting ready to go in and pitch to him.
Meta Trex.
That would have just been a grand moment if, George Takei would have played Tuvix, you know, and when the transporter accident happens, he's standing there in those colorful clothes and just says, oh my.
Oh my.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We are available in any capacity that you could possibly want your podcast in. We are available on all the platforms, but especially iTunes, and we have a little bit of catching up to do, by the way. We have some people to thank in the US iTunes store because they left us 5 stars and wrote us glowing reviews, and those lovely people are Steve Lee Bassbone, Final MacGyver, and SciFiFan203. Those were reviews left for us in the US iTunes store, and this helps us out greatly because it helps us climb up in the rankings in iTunes, and that's where most people still get their podcasts. It always has been, and it probably will be for some time to come. So that takes only a few minutes of your time, but means a lot to us because that helps other people find the show. So thanks again to all of you who have done that. Another way that you can help us is by going on to patreon.com/trekfm and consider becoming a monthly subscriber. There's perks in it for you, and we recently have reordered our perks. We have some new stuff in it for you. We have the patron zone where you can get all this cool stuff, and you really just ought to check it out if you haven't already. So do that. We want to thank especially on To the Journey our associate producers, and those people are Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, Aaron Harvey, and Bruce Lish. So thanks a lot, you guys, for supporting TTJ and Trek FM at large. Now, next week, what do we have going on?
Next week, I'm really excited because a lot of you have been emailing us, tweeting us, messaging us, saying, hey, Shar, Tristan, we love the universe that you created of the mirror universe in Voyager. When are you going to go back? And well, guess what? Next week, we are coming back to Voyager's mirror universe created by yours truly, Shar and Tristan. And I'm not going to tell you how we're going to get there. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do, but it's going to be the mirror universe we created for Voyager related. But you'll have to tune in next week to find out. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!